أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد يعلم الله المعوقين منكم والقائلين لإخوانهم هلم إلينا ولا يأتون البأس إلا قليلا. أشحة عليكم فإذا جاء الخوف رأيتهم ينظرون إليك تدور أعينهم كالذي يغشى عليه من الموت. فإذا ذهب الخوف سلقوكم بألسنة حداد أشحة على الخير. أولئك لم يؤمنوا فأحبط الله أعمالهم وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. يحسبون الأحزاب لم يذهبوا وإن يأتي الأحزاب يودوا لو أنهم بادون في الأعراب يسألون عن أنبائكم ولو كانوا فيكم ما قاتلوا إلا قليلا. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء أو يتوب عليهم إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. ورد الله الذين كفروا بغيظهم لم ينالوا خيرا وكفى الله المؤمنين القتال وكان الله قويا عزيزا.
Continue the translation and tafsir of Surah Al-Ahzab, and we're starting today from ayah number 18. In last week's lesson, we discussed the beginning of the Ghazwa and what happened at that time when everybody was going through that difficult phase. Psychologically, they all thought that this was the end. And because of that suspense, because of that tension, because of that fear, there was a lot of dissent, a lot of disagreement, a lot of arguments amongst the people that were present. And the biggest troublemakers were, of course, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, but also some people who were weak of iman. They fell into the trap and they also started making excuses and excused themselves and went home. So this was basically the discussion that we had last week. And it was a very, very difficult situation. As we mentioned last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares it, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Even the people of Iman were tested. They went through ibtila at that time, وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, and they were shaken very, very severely. So, this is what happened. There was the munafiqeen who started complaining and they started saying that Allah and His Prophet have been making us false promises. And then the weak of Iman, they just made excuses and they went away and they went home. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe in today's lesson a little bit more about the munafiqeen. And then what did the people of Iman do in that very, very difficult situation? And the lesson, of course, for us to learn from that is that as Muslims, when we are going through difficult times, what is the solution? Okay, do we run and hide into our shells? Okay, we shave off our beards and take off our hijabs and pretend that we're not Muslim anymore. Okay, so this is the question that we have to answer. And if we look at this tafsir, if we listen to the tafsir and we ponder over it, we will get the answer to that. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مُعَوِّقِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالْقَائِلِينَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ هَلُمَّ إِلَيْنَا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows al-mu'awiqeen. Al-mu'awiqeen means the ones who are stopping the others. Okay, people just spreading and talking and saying, okay, you don't need to be at the forefront. Let's go back. You know, we need to protect our families. So basically talking amongst themselves, gossiping and filling each other's ears. So al-mu'awwidh means the ones who are stopping the others. Even a person was willing to go and stay at the forefront with the Prophet ﷺ and the sincere Sahaba, but these munafiqeen were filling their ears and making them stop and go back. وَالْقَائِلِينَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the ones who were saying to their brothers, حَلُمَّ إِلَيْنَا Come to us, or wait with us, stay with us, you don't need to go to the forefront. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الْبَأْسَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And they don't go to the ba's. Al-ba's means difficulty, fear. They don't come to this difficulty and fear except very little. Okay, so these were the munafiqeen, filling each other's ears, preventing others, and they themselves want to stay out of trouble and they want to be comfortable and they don't want to put their lives at risk. They don't want to have any kind of difficulty and any kind of trouble. And on top of that, Allah says, أَشِحَّةً عَلَيْكُمْ They were shahih. Shahih means greedy. Shahih means greedy and stingy at the same time. And the plural of that is ashiha. Shahihun, the plural is ashiha, and it is derived from the word shuh. That is a combination of greediness and stinginess. Ashihatan alaykum, they had this greediness upon you. Meaning that if you were to go to any kind of battle, and you were to come back with spoils and ghanaim, they would be at the forefront to try to claim their share. Greedy for that, but when it comes to doing the work and go through the difficult parts, they stay at the back. But when it comes to getting what they're supposed to get in terms of the reward, they would be at the forefront trying to claim it. So greedy upon you, meaning greedy to get the ghanaim and the spoils of war. فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْخَوْفِ رَأَيْتَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ تَدُورُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ كَالَّذِي يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ And when any kind of fear comes to them, you will see them يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ They will be looking towards you and their eyes will be round. تَدُورُ When a person has fear, what happens? His eyes become round and wide open. Okay, it's a natural instinct. تَدُورُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ Like what? كَالَّذِي يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ Like that person who has been covered with death. Meaning when a person is in his last throes of death and his ruh is taken out, the eyes remain open. And according to a hadith is mentioned that when the ruh is taken out of the body, the body actually looks at the ruh, the soul taken out of the body and follows it when it's been taken out by the angels. And this makes the eyes stay open and basically wide open, looking at that ruh that is going out and escaping from the body. So the Prophet ﷺ said that when that happens, you see that person who's got his eyes open, you should close the eyes, because at that point when the body is still kind of warm, it's easy to do that. But once the body becomes cold, then the eyes remain open. So when a person dies, you should just purposefully close the eyes, and so that the body doesn't look scary to other people and the eyes don't remain open afterwards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen that when khawf comes to them, when any kind of fear comes to them, you will see their eyes looking at you round and full of fear, like that person who has just been covered with death. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الْخَوْفُ سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ أَشِحَّةً عَلَى الْخَيْرِ But when that khawf goes, when that fear goes, they will meet you with sharp tongues. Al-sina, the plural of lisan, meaning tongue. They will meet you with sharp tongues. Meaning they talk a lot. Okay? But when it comes to work, they don't want to do anything, but they talk a lot. You know, we have so many examples of that amongst us. You know, people who talk, when it comes to doing the work, they always back out. Okay, so we are not supposed to be like that. When we are asked to work, or when we volunteer to work, we should go through with it and do the best that we can with the resources that we have, with the physical ability that we have, and we should not back out. Not be like the munafiqeen who talk a lot, and when the time comes to work, they are always hiding. So they meet you with sharp tongues, ashihatan ala al-khair, and again, they are greedy towards all the goodness and the spoils and the reward that they're supposed to be getting. أُولَٰئِكَ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا فَأَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares about these people that such people, they don't have iman. They don't have iman, so all of their deeds have gone to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wasted their deeds, and as we know, without iman, no deed is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing that makes deeds acceptable, the catalyst for the acceptance of deeds, is iman. Without iman, none of those deeds are accepted. And if a person is doing all good deeds, he doesn't have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that as a person who sees a mirage far away. He goes to the mirage, he thinks it's water, and he finds nothing there. So it's just like a mirage. He thinks that I'm doing so many good things, but yet he doesn't have iman. It's all wasted. Nothing is going to be there on the Day of Judgment for him. So Allah says, فَأَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wastes their deeds. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And that is difficult. That's not difficult. That is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do, because ultimately He's the one who accepts and judges whether a deed is to be acceptable or not. Ultimately, we are going to Jannah through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through our amal, not through our deeds. So when it's like that, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who should decide and who has the ability to decide whether He's going to even accept our deeds in the first place or not. Okay, but ultimately, we are going through to rely on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then why do we do good deeds? So that we can attract that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, I did my best. Now it's up to you. Cover me with your mercy. Prophet ﷺ said, none of you will enter Jannah except through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba said, Wala anta ya Rasulullah, and not even you, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Wala ana illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatin min, not even me, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers me with His rahmah. Not even the Prophet was relying on his deeds, but on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where do we stand? يَحْسَبُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا. They think that the armies have not gone. Again, the description is going on to, of the munafiqeen. So we know what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the winds, and because of the winds, the tents and everything, and the cooking appliances and everything, were thrown everywhere. The pots and pans and the food. So they had to retreat and they had to go back. But despite that, the munafiqeen were so scared, even after that wind came, they still thought that the armies have not gone. And they continued to hide. And they continued not to come forward and basically present themselves. وَإِن يَأْتِ الْأَحْزَابُ يَوَدُّوا لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ بَادُونَ فِي الْأَعْرَابِ يَسْأَلُونَ عَنْ أَنْبَائِكُمْ. And if the armies were to come, meaning if they were to come back again, they would wish that they were amongst the Bedouins, meaning in some village somewhere, which is far away from Medina, and يَسْأَلُونَ عَنْ أَنْبَائِكُمْ, and they ask passers-by about your news. Meaning they want to stay safe, go to some far-off village, and ask, is the war finished? Is the war finished? How's the situation with the Muslims? Did the armies leave yet or not? So they want to stay far away in some village, asking about your news. وَلَوْ كَانُوا فِيكُمْ مَا قَاتَلُوا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And even if they were amongst you, they would only fight a little bit. So again, there would be cowardliness from them, and they would be afraid to even fight. Even if they were amongst you, they would become a hindrance to you anyway, because they were full of cowardice. The next verse is a very important verse. And we probably hear this verse all the time. But think of it in the context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it now. And this will put a completely different light on this verse that you may have heard hundreds of times before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, for you, in the Prophet ﷺ, there is a very good example. So the wording is very, very beautiful. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, in two ways. Laqad, lam, with it is for ta'keed. Qad is for ta'keed, for stressing a point. Kana is also for ta'keed, because it is talking in a past tense. Okay, lakum, for you, this is also ta'keed. It's again stressing the point. Okay, and lakum has been brought forward instead of being at the back. So again, it stresses, for you, addressing all of us. For you, indeed, there is in the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a very good way. So, if we think about the context in which this verse was revealed, the munafiqeen are insulting the Prophet and saying that he's the one who's been making us false promises. Okay, the Sahaba, they're tying rocks to their stomach. The Prophet ﷺ has got rocks tied to his stomach. Okay, people are disillusioned and they are afraid. They think they're going to get killed. The Prophet ﷺ is even making more promises to them, like we mentioned last week, that they're digging the trench and they've got rocks tied to their stomach, and the Prophet ﷺ is giving them promises of, you know, conquering the palaces of Rome and Persia and Syria and Yemen. So, think of that and how the munafiqeen were reacting to that, and they were saying that this guy is just making his false promises. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still declaring to the Sahaba that in the Prophet of Allah, there is a very good example for you. Think of that. Okay? When people are so disillusioned, it only takes a person full of iman to still stick to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, I don't care what happens around me. I don't care if I'm starving. I don't care if I'm hungry. I don't care if I'm going to get killed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring that I have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in that is my success. Okay, so this is an example for us until the Day of Judgment. That in every difficult situation, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? In every hard situation, when Muslims are being persecuted, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? And do we hold faster and firmer onto our deen, or do we retreat into our shells and basically pretend we're not even Muslims? This is the question we need to ask ourselves, and the answer is right here in this verse. That when the difficulty is there facing the ummah, then the answer is in deen and deen only, and in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only. And this is the thing that we can derive from the context in which this verse was revealed. So if we have to do that in the most difficult of situations, when our lives are being threatened, then of course when we have no threat to us, then there is no excuse for us not to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not to follow the Quran, not to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What excuse do we have? When there's no excuse in difficult situations, then what excuse is there in easy situations? So this is something that we need to think about. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And that only happens really, a person will only reflect upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he is hoping for the akhirah. And this is what is mentioned at the end. For that person who has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day, okay, it doesn't matter if I'm going to be killed right now or I have difficulty in my life right now, what is the worst that can happen to me? I'm going to die. Okay, if I die while I'm following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is there for me? I'm going to be completely 100% successful because I have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. If a person has this realization that I am facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course everything else becomes easy for him. Okay, this is why at the end it says, for that person who has hope in Allah and the last day and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently, then it becomes easy for him. But if a person is weak, he doesn't think about his hereafter, he wants to just save his skin in this world, then he will do everything and anything just to retreat, just like the munafiqeen did. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. Now, after mentioning the munafiqeen and the people who were weak of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares the reaction of the people who truly had iman. What was their reaction? This is something to hear also. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. When the mu'mineen saw the armies, they didn't retreat, they didn't go back, they didn't hide. They said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul have promised us. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul have told the truth. What was that? The truth was that when the mu'mineen were going through difficulties, the mu'mineen came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and basically they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're going through so many difficulties. Mata Nasrullah, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعْهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then declared, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. They were afflicted with difficulties and hardships, and they were shaken until even the Prophet and the people of Iman started asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come down? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very close. So this was the promise, that the help of Allah is close. Okay? Remain steadfast. Hold to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't retreat. And have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's help will come. So after a month, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did send down the winds. So the mu'mineen, they did not become afraid and just lose hope. But they stood firm and they remained steadfast. And this should be the reaction of every person of Iman when he's going through any kind of difficulty. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people who have the most difficulties are the Anbiya والسلام, then the pious people. Then according to their level of Iman and faith, they'll be tried and tested. Okay, so when a person is going through difficulty, he should not lose hope and become depressed and all the rest of it. He should think that this is just a trial from Allah. The most that can happen to me, what's going to happen? Am I going to die? Okay, if I'm going to get killed, then am I on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? If I'm not, then I should be on that deen. I should get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should make more dua to Him and hope for His help, inshallah. So Allah says that the people of Iman, when they saw the armies, they said, this is what Allah and His Prophet has promised, and Allah and His Rasul are telling the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And their Iman only increased. Their Iman didn't decrease. Their Iman increased. Their Iman increased and they got closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the thing that we need to learn from Ghazwatul Ahzab. It's a very, very tough situation. How did the Muslims deal with it, and how did the Munafiqeen and the weak of Iman deal with it? And then just basically fit that into our lives. And I gave that last week the example of how Muslims were after 9/11. Everybody was panicking and everybody was going through, you know, giving fatwas and things of that nature. That it's, if we think back now, we kind of could laugh about it and think how strange the things were that were going on. Yes, it was a difficult time. But, you know, the people that remained steadfast, they remained steadfast. Some people just, you know, packed their bags up and left, thinking there's no room for us here anymore in this country. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own plans, and we see that Islam is flourishing even more. Muslims are becoming stronger. The masajid are getting bigger. The schools are expanding. Schools, the Islamic schools are full everywhere. Wherever you go, there is a masjid being built or is being expanded. So this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing to do with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His plans. Nobody can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should keep our faith firm and we should not waver in these difficulties, in these difficult times. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. There are some people of Iman. From the people of Iman, there are men. Rijalun. Men. Meaning, and this word used men is again to show their bravery. It's not again something against women, but generally when you say that these guys are real men, okay? من المؤمنين رجال, from the people of Iman were men. صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه. They were true in the promise that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was that? To remain firm and to remain steadfast. It's narrated that Anas radiallahu anhu said that my uncle Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu, he didn't attend with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the Battle of Badr, and it was difficult for him. He found it, you know, difficult. He wanted to be amongst those people who were in the first battle of Islam. So Anas bin Nadr, so he was always upset that he could not participate. So he used to always say that the first battle that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam attended, I was absent from it. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows me any other opportunity after that with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see what I'm going to do. So what did he do? He said, he was present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next battle, which is of course the Battle of Uhud. And it's mentioned that he fought and he, before he went into the thick of the battle, he said that I can smell Jannah from beyond the mountain of Uhud. And he fought, it's mentioned that he was pierced in his body more than 80 times. His whole body was pierced more than 80 times, and his wife or his sister could only recognize him through his fingertips. He could not even be recognized. So the scholars, some Mufassirin, say that this verse was about such people who stood firm in these difficult times, and they were basically willing to give their lives and attain martyrdom for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So min al-mu'mineen, from the people of Iman, were men who were true with what they had promised with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Some of them have fulfilled their promise, and some of them are waiting. Okay, so it's talking about shahada, it could be talking about martyrdom, it could be talking about any Muslim who is basically has made the ahd with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's going to be a good Muslim, and he's going to do what it takes to be a good Muslim. So some people, they did what they had to do, they left this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. And some people are still in this world, they are waiting for the time that they will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are leading their life in accordance with the command of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, and they didn't change, meaning they didn't change that promise. They stood firm with the promise, they said we're going to lead our life as Muslims, and they did the best until the ends of their lives. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could reward the ones who were true, and وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, or and he would punish the munafiqeen if he wanted, or he could even forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants, he can even forgive the munafiqeen. There is nothing difficult for him to do that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. And this was obviously if they died with Iman, maybe they made tawbah and they died with Iman after that, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive them. There is nothing wrong with that. It's not far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Ghafoor Rahim, He is forgiving and He is merciful. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent back the people who did kufr with their anger, they didn't find any khair. Talking about the people who came, the Ahzab that came, they encamped around Medina for a whole month, they didn't get anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them back disgraced. And he sent, of course, the wind and the angels to destroy them, and they had to leave. وَكَفَ اللَّهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was enough for the mu'mineen in fighting. They didn't even have to raise a sword, ultimately. Allah was enough to replace the believers in the fighting, and he got rid of them by himself. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًا عَزِيزًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is qawi, he is strong, and he is the Almighty. So this was the end of the story of Ahzab. Next week, there's going to be another controversial topic which is going to be discussed. What happened after Ghazwatul Ahzab? And inshallah, the next lesson, next week's lesson is also going to be very interesting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.